Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Filling in for Mark Ryan, I'm Derek Fogle. Great to be with you again. I've got you for the final hour of the show today, of course, but also tomorrow, again, I've got you. You might have heard me on Straight Up with Sturge a few weeks ago. Also filled out on Offsides before, so it's great to be with you. Lonzo still on the sticks. You want to tweet at me, you know where to find me, at Fogle said what, F-O-G-E-L said what. The text line's still open, the phone line's still open, 71307, start that text with ESPN. And just a quick update on...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink... what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mark, if you didn't hear about what happened yesterday, a little bit of a health issue going on. He's all right, but we just wish him the best. Maybe tweet at him if you'd like. You know where to find him. At Mark Ryan on air. M-A-R-C. He spells Mark with a C because he's a goofball. So we wish Mark the best, and I'll take good care of you.
Wait. You mean it's not because he's French? I thought it was he was either French or Canadian.
How did I know you were going to have something to say about that? Actually, that's a good question for him. I don't think he is French Canadian or whatever his heritage is. But yeah, he's a goof. Mark with a C.
He dresses like someone from Canada, so I think it might be that.
Does it? You know what? He was always, he likes warm, he's a warm weather guy. So I'm not surprised by that. He's probably bundled up for a studio and keep it a normal temperature.
This is proof that he's going to be okay, because I wouldn't make fun of him like this if I thought he wasn't going to be okay. So he's going to be all right.
All right. No, that's good. I'm good with that. You got some dark humor in you there, Lonzo. I'm fine with it, though. So let's see. We've got the importance of bowl eligibility. We're going to talk about that next segment. We're also going to circle back again to the Braves and the sad state of baseball, at least the sad state of these playoffs. I'll explain that later. But let's get to this right now. Thanks to the Redskins' move on Monday with Jay Gruden, we've got more coaches that are possibly on the hot seat. And I figured we could decide if they're undercooked or overcooked, but I think you probably know who's on this list. And let's just start in Atlanta with the Falcons. Dan Quinn, probably overcooked. I think we learned what Dan Quinn was after Kyle Shanahan left. He's been a little bit exposed, and it's probably time to move on. How much of that is Matt Ryan? I don't know. Lonzo, I'm hesitant to ask you your thoughts on Dan Quinn being on the hot seat and overcooked or undercooked, just because I know you don't like the Falcons.
You're right. So, I don't like the Falcons, but here's the thing. I mean, Dan Quinn came in, if I remember, he was a defensive coordinator for Seattle, if I recall, and he came in and beefed up the defense right away. But you're right. Once Shanahan went away, that offense dropped off. I've never been a big Matt Ryan fan. I don't know if we could blame it all on him, but Atlanta is just one of those teams that are like, eh, they're all right. And if that's what they're okay with, then fine. But I don't think they are, and I don't think he makes it past this season.
Yeah, I would say it's probably done. Not in the middle of the season. I don't think you're going to do that to anybody but Jay Gruden and the Redskins organization. That's just a disaster. That would, you know, not a surprise. You could see that happening just from their structural problems and just because it kind of became public that you didn't like your draft pick for your future quarterback, and that's never a good look. So no surprise there, but for the Falcons, watching him against the Texans, bad. Just bad. You made the Texans look way too competent. They always find their way into close games, and you made them look way too good. I thought they'd be 9-7. Like you said, they're always just eh. That's where I thought they'd be. And they're looking at, unless they turn it around, they're looking at a pretty nice draft pick. On to the next hot seat. It's in Dallas. No surprise here. Cowboys, Jason Garrett. This is probably overcooked as well. Jerry Jones finally realizing a coach can inhibit even the best talent. Maybe that's what's happening here. But also Jerry Jones loves his puppets. So that's the whole problem. Is Jerry Jones willing to give up a guy that he likes and he knows he can control in Jason Garrett? I feel like you need to. You've got Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott. You got a defense that's coming around. It's probably time to give it another shot to somebody, or at least, I don't know, maybe coordinators. There's something that needs to happen for the Cowboys because they are pretty good, and nobody likes to say that because they're self-proclaimed America's team, which is the worst, most annoying thing you could ever hear. On to the next hot seat, or at least, Lonzo, would you agree Jason Garrett overcooked?
I don't think he's going anywhere. I think the only way Jason Garrett goes anywhere is if he quits himself, because I don't think Jerry Jones would get rid of him. I really don't.
Because he likes, yeah. He likes his puppets. So I think it's overcooked, though, still. Like, yeah, he should be out of here.
Oh, he should have been gone a couple years ago.
Yeah. Here he is. Got to have your puppet. On to Pittsburgh. Steelers coach Mike Tomlin, apparently on the hot seat. This one, you know, we've said this about Mike Tomlin, or not we, I haven't said this, but it's always a headline, I swear, and he's been there 10 years now, I think. People always want him out, but I don't think you need to. He's had pretty good teams. Did they lose in the playoffs? Sure, Big Ben has his issues, but look, you finally got rid of Le'Veon Bell. You finally got rid of Antonio Brown, which I think we've learned. Did you lose some talented guys? Were they looking after their own careers? Sure. But we also learned that they might be a little bit toxic, especially Antonio Brown. But Le'Veon Bell, what's happened with him? He's with the 0-4 Jets, saying that fans still need to stick by him, and he's done a little bit. Do they need their quarterback back from mono? Sure, Sam Darnold being out doesn't help. But you finally have a clean locker room. You lost Big Ben, I know, but I'm a little bit of a fan of Mike Tomlin because he's put up with a lot and he still had success, and that probably clouds my judgment. But I think this is undercooked. I don't think Mike Tomlin really should be on the hot seat. This is something that is just a recycled headline. And if I'm wrong here, Alonzo, please say so, because I don't think that he's the problem there.
See, I agree with you, and they're getting ready to go through a transition. I mean, they're going to have to look for the quarterback of the future. I don't know why they haven't done that yet. And maybe Mason Rudolph may end up being that guy or not. But, you know, Big Ben, he's done. I mean, he should be done with this injury. It wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't go ahead and retire. He was acting like he was going to do that before the season. And also look at how many coaches the Steelers have had. They've only had, what, 3 or 4 in the entire history of the franchise? They don't get rid of people. They just don't do that.
No, that's true.
They either die or they leave on their own. So I just don't think that he's going anywhere.
Yeah, though, that's a very good point. And, you know, I don't think, Big Ben signed that contract, though. He signed that big extension, but I don't think it's time for him to go. And you've got, that's also very true about the Steelers. They don't like to move on from guys. So if we're going to say it's a hot seat deal, he's not going to get fired. It would be the, quote, mutually parting ways. Fine. I don't think.
That Washington rumor is out there for a reason. Who knows? Would he jump ship and go to the Redskins? I don't think so. But if he did, you know, it wouldn't completely surprise me. I wouldn't either.
Yeah. The Redskins are a disaster from top to bottom. And it starts in the front office, and people think, oh, well, that doesn't affect the on-field product. It does. It does. Talk to former players. It's really interesting what they have to say about the organization itself. You think that it impacts, like, of all the front offices, I feel like football seems to be the one that people think is the most distant, but it's equal as the others. People think that baseball is the most involved. It's equal as the others. It's just, you can't have a bad organization. Don't go to the Redskins. That's just don't. Just save yourself the time. That's not a job that you want. On to the final hot seat, undercooked or overcooked here. Believe it or not, Carolina Panthers coach Ron Rivera. And, you know, I like him. I'm a fan. I think he's very likable, and that clouds judgment, as we've said before. But defensive guys struggle to have success unless they surround themselves perfectly. If you're a defensive mind as a head coach, we've talked about this before, you usually don't have success. There are some outliers. There's Pete Carroll. There's Bill Belichick. There's Kirby Smart having some success right now at Georgia. But by and large, defensive minds don't do well as head coaches. Look at Vic Fangio going from the Bears to the Broncos. The Broncos suck. And is it his first year? Sure. But it's just, it doesn't work out. Todd Bowles didn't work out. Adam Gase, he found a new job quickly. But there's, the defensive mind just is not good for the head coaching position in football anymore. It's just not. I don't love that I have to say that. But specifically for Ron Rivera, aside from being a defensive guy, you're looking at the end of Cam Newton. It's probably the perfect time to move on. The likability, I get it. I'm a fan. Lonzo, am I off in saying that Ron Rivera is likable?
See, here's the problem with me on this. Since the beginning of this radio station, I think we'll be around for 5 years coming up in a couple months, I have said Ron Rivera needed to be fired because of the way that he started every year. It was a struggle. Even and you would get good seasons like every 3 or 4 seasons. Richardson held on to him because he was kind of a loyal guy and everything. And then this season, I met Ron Rivera and it kind of changed my mind. And I think I'm maybe because he's such a nice guy and he had such enthusiasm and everything. And I was also a big Cam Newton supporter, and I still kind of am, but now I'm starting to think that maybe Cam might have actually been the problem. And all those people who say that he's the problem, maybe they're right. Maybe Cam is the problem because you see what Kyle Allen is doing. You also see what the defense has done since Rivera took over himself and started calling the defensive plays. I don't think he's going anywhere, especially if they – look, they've won every game since Cam went down. And yeah, they got a good shot of winning again this week. So I don't know. I don't think he's going anywhere.
I think that he actually might be, only because the new ownership, I forget his, I'm blanking on his name right now.
But Tepper. They call
him Tepper. Yeah, David Tepper. Thank you. He's been said like he's an action guy, right? So I wouldn't be surprised if they moved on and surprised people as well. That wouldn't shock me, just because that front office might feel like they, or David Tepper might feel like he wants to make his splash as an owner. I don't think he necessarily would want to do that in paying a new quarterback over Cam Newton, but it's probably time to move on. What have you done? What have you done for me lately? The Super Bowl was a really nice run, but in reality, are you going to get back to that with what you have? We would probably say no. You obviously would say no, Lonza, and I would agree. It's one of those cases where it reminds me of Will Muschamp, to be honest, that lightning in a bottle, that one season is clouding your judgment. He had the one season where he went 10-2, I think, lost in the Sugar Bowl. And now you think, oh, well, he's this level of coach that can get you there. It's the same thing with Ron Rivera. He got you to the Super Bowl. Oh, he must have been able to get you there. Or did he just trap lightning in a bottle for one season and it makes you believe and hold on to something that you shouldn't? That is kind of what I see in Ron Rivera. Probably time to move on. Kind of surprised that he wasn't on the hot seat earlier, like you're saying, Lonzo. But when you're in the year of the young nobody quarterback, lighten it up. It'll change your mind. But I think Panthers fans and maybe ownership are being blinded by that one good season. All right, coming up next, I've said how eligibility is important for recruiting. But more importantly, you need to hold on to your players. We'll talk about that, what it means for South Carolina. That's next. Derek Fogle filling in for Mark Ryan. You're Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
At Fogel said what? F-O-G-E-L said what? That's me. I'm Derek Fogel filling in for Mark. We wish him the best. A little bit of health issues going on. He'll be all right, though. Tweet him some love, though. You want to text in? 71307. Start that text with ESPN. Let me know what you're thinking. Love me or hate me. I'm thinking most of you are going to hate me after I tell you a little bit about what's going on with South Carolina Gamecock football. But that's part of the job, right? That's fine. Here we go. We'll go right in. No time to waste. I've talked about this before. South Carolina needs to be bowl eligible. They're going to have to find their way. The three wins they should have should be Appalachian State, Vandy, and Tennessee. Those are the most winnable games on the schedule that you have left. Georgia this weekend, good luck. Florida, could be an upset. At A&M, and then hosting Clemson, no. But Florida and A&M, I both go, So you got to remain bowl eligible, okay? You got to get those six wins, and that's the goal of the season. It feels sad when you put it that way, because it is just a six-win season. But, hey, that's where you're at. It's just the reality of recruiting. You need to stay bowl eligible. What happened to USC when they got that bowl ban? They're still trying to come out of oblivion, okay? Stay bowl eligible has to be the goal, has to be what Will Muschamp is thinking about. Got to find a way to just ruin someone's season, because that's what the Gamecocks would do. If they were able to do it to Florida or A&M or Clemson or Georgia, which I don't think those last two, it's really just Florida and A&M. If you could do that, that would really throw a bone into the works of their season. They would not appreciate that, but you need it. Why? Recruiting. Why? It keeps players with the program. Okay, I don't know if you saw this or heard about this 2 days ago with Jameis Williams saying he will transfer. Okay, that happened. Freshman South Carolina football linebacker now, Derek Boykins, put his name in the NCAA transfer portal. All right, that was just a couple days ago. Boykins has played in one game, garbage time, against Charleston Southern. Why does it matter? Well, if players are leaving, what does that say about the nature of the program? Not necessarily the nature of the program, but the state of it. You're in trouble. Now, to be fair, we don't know the circumstances. We don't know if it's a smaller issue. It could be something personal, wants to be closer to home. I don't know where Derek Boykins is from. But if you're trying to not just make it personal, which I do understand there could be a situation, maybe he just doesn't agree with the coach. That's fine. Maybe he just doesn't want to be at the school anymore. Maybe just the classes, just the feel isn't there like he thought it would be. He's a freshman. That's very plausible. And for that, fine, good for you for just understanding that it's not the best situation. But could it possibly be that it's not no longer the best situation because you know you're not going to win? You see the team not going in the right direction. Maybe you're not being challenged enough. For myself, I started Division II as a college baseball player and realized I needed more competition, so I left. I don't think that could be the case as an SEC guy. You're facing one of the best conferences in college football. And it's not the first player to leave for Will Muschamp or the first defensive player. You're supposed to be a defensive guy. Is this a larger picture here of a player seeing South Carolina as not the place to grow? That's concerning. Okay, there's no easy way to draw that up. Are these smaller issues that could be happening behind the scenes? If that is the real reason why he and other players have left, we'll never know. We really won't. He's not going to come out and say that. I'd be surprised if he did. I guess players have aired it out before. But realistically, we won't know. I hope it's just the personal issues, but even those personal issues that I brought up, not close to home, well, no, that's excusable. But if it's not the place to grow, not the fit for you, that's telling of the program. That's bad. That means he doesn't see a future here to grow. He's a freshman. You got to stay bowl eligible to keep players around. Those little gifts that they get from the bowl committees for wherever they go, those do something for an 18, 19, 20-year-old kid. That means something for your program. Aside from the little gifts, that's the personal aspect of it. Aside from just saying that you were bowl eligible, that you made it to the postseason of college football, that means something. But now you're talking about losing players. And there's rules. There's NCAA rules. It's not like people are just going to straight up walk out the door. But you've got defensive players. And you're a head coach that has been a really good DC. What's the problem here? Really, I'm trying to unpack this. Because the last press conference that I remember was Will Muschamp. He was really relatable and fun, joking about how he's getting old, how it hasn't been a good fall, how his wife doesn't like being around a loser. That was all fun. It seems all good. It seems like maybe he could still have a locker room play for him. Maybe not. We also had SEC sideline reporter Tara Talmadge with us a couple of weeks ago, actually after the Mizzou loss, after the loss at Mizzou, and she said how that sideline was sad. All game. How Edwards was trying to inspire people on that sideline. Braylon Edwards was trying to inspire people on that sideline the entire time. That's bad. These are not necessarily red flags, right? We're not, if we're going to the beach, this isn't the red flag where you can't swim today, but it's got to be what? The yellow one where you're worried about rip currents? The yellow flag, the caution flag is waving right now. In my book, it is. Okay, I've said before, don't let the lightning in a bottle from Will Muschamp cloud your judgment. The lightning in the bottle being the 10-2 season that he had with Florida. Don't let that be the reason why you keep him around because you think that he can reach that again. It was one fluke year. I could easily make the argument that Ron Rivera's Super Bowl run with the Panthers was one fluke year. Don't let it cloud your judgment. He's probably not the guy. These little things that add up, you have a reason to think that there's real problems happening. It's that simple for me. 71307, start your text with ESPN if you'd like to chime in. Or if you can tweet at me, you want. That's fine. At Fogel said what? F-O-G-E-L said what? I'm Derek Fogel filling in for Mark Ryan. You are still offsides. But man, these little yellow flags keep popping up. What would happen if Ryan Helinski decides, I'm out. Now you got a good backup in your redshirt freshman. What's his name? He was so good. He was so impressive. Scrambler at Mizzou. He looked so good. Dakarion Joyner. There he is. You know, that would obviously still be a nice backup plan. But what if Ryan Helinski decides, you know what, I'm probably not going to grow here either, even though I started as a freshman. I don't think he's that guy to abandon a commitment. And he seems to have really enjoyed his time here. But it's certainly concerning. And I also want to point this out. This is totally unfootball related, that Derek Boykins spells Derek correctly. Coming from a Derek myself, he spells it D-E-R-E-K. That is how you spell Derek. It is not D-E-R-R-I-C-K. That's Derek. It's not D-E-R-E-C-K. That's Derek. D-E-R-E-K. Derek. Just want to make sure that everybody understands that. But I'm just looking at, not red flags. I won't go that far. I'm looking at the yellow flags. The beware of rip current flags for from Will Muschamp and that South Carolina football program. God, it's concerning. It's just one of those things where you're looking at it like, okay, no, we're still fine. We're still fine. How many times are you going to say that before you know it's time to move on? It's different for everyone, right? Quitting while you're ahead is different than quitting. But how do you define it? Texter says South Carolina doesn't have enough to get rid of Muschamp, so the players will separate themselves and go to another program. Yep. I think you're slowly starting to see that. It's not a steady stream of players. That's not going to happen in college football. But two, and you're the defensive mind. I don't like that. It'd be different if it was offensive guys. Sure. They're not having the success. I understand that a little better. It's still bad. But these are defensive guys. These are supposed to be your guys. Beware. I don't think you have enough to say you should hold on to Will Muschamp. If your argument is it's the contract, it's a relationship with the athletic director, bad news. People will move heaven and earth to make these contracts happen. People bail out. Think of all the dead money that's out there in contracts. There are schools that are still paying off coaches. Don't be afraid to make the move to make your team better, make your program better. Because once you start falling below eligibility consistently, ooh, it's going to be hard to get back. That is oblivion. Look at Arkansas. They lost to San Jose State. They are in a black hole that is almost impossible to climb out of. They're in the SEC, so it's a little more forgiving. You can still get some talent, but good God, it's hard to get out of there. That's a tough place to be. I'm Derek Fogle filling in for Mark Ryan. You're still offsides. Coming up next, two upsets last night. Of course, over the Dodgers and the Braves. Which one was worse? We'll discuss. ESPN Upstate.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Filling in for Mark, I'm Derek Fogle. I'll have you tomorrow as well. It is still offsides. If you want to find me on Twitter, at Fogle said what, F-O-G-E-L said what. If you'd like to tweet at Mark some well wishes, just a little under the weather, a little bit of health concern. He's all right, but at M-A-R-C, Ryan on air, at Mark Ryan on air, if you're looking to wish him well. You're looking to text into the show, 71307. Start that text with ESPN. And I'm talking MLB playoffs again, and texter Rob already says, Kershaw choking was worse than the Cardinals' route of the Braves. I'm already used to the Braves failing in the postseason. Man, I don't think you should be used to the Braves failing in the postseason. They had a really good stretch. I think you just need to be used to Atlanta teams failing. Not that you're an Atlanta fan, but what a rough fan base to be a part of. Ooh, we can talk. We can talk about the Dodgers and the Nationals in a minute, but first, I think I want to get to Mike Schilt's speech, his post-game expletive-laced victory rant before they popped bottles in the Cardinals clubhouse. I'm understanding that people are upset by this. Why? That was supposed to be private anyway. I know they record a lot of things. But, yeah, you shouldn't care. He said bleep someone, I think, and they're offended by that. Who cares? Sorry, they beat you. They got lucky, okay? 10 runs in the first inning is lucky. It's never happened in the postseason. Hardly ever happens, period. They got lucky. The better team did not win. The Braves are better. It's okay. The better team didn't win in Los Angeles either. Kershaw falling apart. Back-to-back solo homers. Yeah. Yep, that's as expected. That poor guy, he's very likable, really good person, just does not win when necessary. I mean, really, I don't think you realize Clayton Kershaw has some of the best regular season numbers ever. Generational talent, defines an era. Can't win in the postseason. Came close. 2017 came very close. didn't have it last year against the Red Sox. The Red Sox were way too good. But in 2017 against the Astros, you had your shots. He might be tipping pitches. I don't know. That seemed to be something that we learned in that series. But poor Kershaw. I'm one of the people that doesn't prey on the Kershaw choke jobs. I don't love saying that. I guess I'm a fan, to be totally honest. He just doesn't perform when it counts. I admit that as well. But I am a fan. I wish that he could get a ring. It seems like he's running out of time, though, because he's losing velocity and the teams that he's with. He shouldn't have been in that game last night. But Howie Kendrick making errors, plural, and then hitting a grand slam and extra innings to win it for the Nationals? Luck. Okay, is it poetic justice? Sure. But luck. The best team does not always win in postseason baseball. Does that make baseball playoffs better than others because there's parity? I don't know. I don't know the answer. We want to see the best players. We want to see the best teams succeed, which oddly enough has happened in baseball the last few years until this year, really. The Yankees handled business, and I think the Rays might have one up on the Astros since they've gone cold. But is it better that, like in the NFL and the NBA, where the better team wins, or usually wins, 95% of the time wins early on in the playoffs, or is it better to have that parity like baseball has? I don't know the answer. Because I would always argue that the NBA is doing themselves an injustice by not having a 5-game set to start their playoffs. The 7-game series in the first round is the most annoying thing ever. If it's not a sweep, you're just annoying us. Go away. We know that you're a 7. You're an 8. The 6 seed sometimes has their way with a 3. But it's just boring. It's worthless. Should it be something the NBA should look into? A 5-game set in the first round, so that way, maybe some parity happens like it does in baseball all the time. Baseball is an unfair game, so that's also part of the issue. But it's a fair question. I'd like to see more parity in those leagues. You could also argue that there's too much parity in the MLB. Playoffs are bad. The hottest team, not the best teams, win. Braves, 10 runs in the first. Folty getting lit up like that. I mean, it's not like they were home runs, okay? They weren't home runs. If Freeman's a step to his left, a step closer to the line, it's lucky. It found its way. Am I annoyed that the Cardinals of all teams won? Yes, go Nationals all the way. Cardinals were not the better team. Better team did not win. It's factual. That's the way it goes, though, because that's baseball. It's infuriating. But that's also why the Astros could be upset tonight. Baseball is a horrible game. I don't know why we like it. Lonzo, you don't like it, and for good measure. Proven reason not to like it. But that I don't like that I'm seeing this Mike Shildt speech, the Cardinals manager, getting blown up because it was he dropped F-bombs and whatever else about how we're going to, you know, kick butt. Fine. He's allowed to say that. It shouldn't have been recorded. Even if it, okay, if it is, it doesn't matter. He won. He is entitled to say that. He's trying to inspire his team. That's what good managers do. And it seems to, really seems to have inspired that team. Whatever he's saying behind closed doors before the game that we don't see, that's probably worse. Ooh, PC culture. Get out. If you're actually upset about that, just leave. Don't do sports. Okay? Because there was actually, if you saw, that little kid that was pumping up his little football team, he said determinating. There's a fun little pump-up speech there. Just stick to youth sports if it upsets you that Mike Shildt went on an expletive raid in their victory champagne showers or right before. I don't know if you can handle it. 71307. That is the text line. Start your text with ESPN. Texter says, Mark has me blocked on Twitter. How can I send him my best wishes? At ESPN Upstate? You can send him there? Or
maybe.
Yeah, I don't know, Lonzo. You could tweet him at Lonzo. And Lonzo, you'd read him to Mark.
Yeah, I would. I'll read him the hate, too, if you want to send that to me. I don't have a problem with that. Yeah,
what's your handle? Let the people know.
Lonzo on Word.
Lonzo on Word. I feel like I need to rebrand. Fogle said what? It's all right. It's the internet. It's all bad, right?
My Twitter handle used to be something else, but when we first started on social media, the program director at the other station that I work at required that we put that on there. And once you get that blue check, I don't want to mess with it, so I'm just going to leave it what it is.
Oh, see, yeah, I don't have the check mark. I don't know how many followers you need. I have, I don't know, 1,200 or something. I don't know how many followers you need.
It's not a matter of following. We got sent a thing. If you want this, you got to fill out, and you actually have to be a host of something and things. There are prerequisites that are involved, but I don't think it matters how many followers you have.
See, it used to be like that. Now it's not. You can't apply for verification anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Another reason for me to not mess with my name. So I'm just going to leave it what it is.
Yeah, fortunately, I don't care too much, but that is something I learned. Remember when Twitter did their purge because of the bots and all everything else? Well, that's when they removed the privileges to ask for verification, and why they started pulling verifications, because they're trying to clean up their forum.
I got to be honest, I don't care, but I got the blue check before someone else in the building did, and they were very upset about it. So I think it's hilarious that I got it first. So,
it matters.
That's a point of pride then. It's like I won.
It matters for sure. Oh, that's hilarious. You know what? Never change, Lonzo. Just make sure it stays that way. Hopefully they don't get their blue check mark either. All right. I'm Derek Fogle filling in for Mark Ryan. You're still offsides. Final little segment. Just something quick to discuss. We got pregame Thursday night football. Somebody making their comeback. Hopefully you heard about this. If not, I'll let you know. That's next. ESPN Upstate. If you didn't hear about this one, I hope you did. We got a comeback happening in football, kind of. Rob Gronkowski, he's going to be on the pregame for Thursday Night Football tonight on Fox. I just want to know how he's still going to maintain his goofy brand. That's all I want to know. The guy knows football. That's no surprise to anybody. But pregame, postgame shows, you have to be pretty buttoned up. I mean, look at our boy Mark Ryan, Derek Fogle filling in for Mark. Mark does pre and post for Clemson. Do you think he's going to air out some opinions on there? No, he's going to serve as a what's the word I'm looking for here? He's going to serve. He's going to be a liaison.
Homer. He's going to be a homer. That's what he's going to be. Yeah.
I prefer liaison, but sure, he's going to be a homer. He's going to be talking Clemson. So, you know, I'm just interested what he does. See how you're supposed to be buttoned up. Let's see how unbuttoned Gronk will be, because that's what we like Gronk for. I think people were really moved by him crying-ish, almost crying. He teared up when he was announcing his, CBD stuff. So people like Gronk a lot. People were moved by that for some reason. When he stopped enjoying football, people understood that a bit more. It also helped, just the timing of it just so happened to help with the Andrew Luck situation, but Gronk, while he is an idiot, I think he's shrewd. He plays dumb, but he knows. He's a smart guy.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.